Well, on yesterday's edition of Locked On LSU, we took a look at this new defense. What will this defense look like, not under just Brian Kelly's regime, but also new defensive coordinator Matt House? What is this LSU defense going to look like? Now, today, we're going to take a look at the offense. What is Mike Denbrock's offense going to look like? What is his offensive scheme? Who is Mike Denbrock? What kind of experience does he bring into LSU? And also, Brian Kelly pointed out a very key position group that Mike Denbrock has experience in developing. I want to break down all of that, plus your questions. It's Mailbag Wednesday. I'll get to all of your questions on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode of Locked On LSU is brought to you by Run Your Pool. March Madness is here, and Run Your Pool has a better way to create your bracket. RunYourPool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. If you're watching on the stream, on the YouTube stream, make sure to subscribe to the Locked On LSU YouTube channel. You'll get notified as soon as our podcast drop. But I'm in some new digs today at the 102.5 The Game Studios here in Nashville. So give now a little bit of a change of pace. But I'm Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I'm an LSU alum, diehard LSU fan. And like I said, I am a sports talk radio host here at ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, Tennessee, covering all things Titans, Predators, SEC, Vols, Vanderbilt Commodores, you name it, we cover it. And my thoughts on LSU athletics. Also, I'll post it on Locked On LSU, their Twitter, at Locked On LSU. So as soon as the podcast drops, you'll get notified there as well. Now, like I mentioned yesterday, we broke down, what does this Brian Kelly defense look like? Who is Matt House, the new defensive coordinator? What is the experience that he brings into this defense? And what will this defense look like? Now, today, we'll go to the other side of the ball. Brian Kelly had another press conference introducing Mike Denbrock, the new offensive coordinator, and answered questions about what is this offensive scheme going to look like? What experience does Mike Denbrock bring in? Now, we go back to what attracted Brian Kelly to the coaches that he selected for his staff. He mentioned this when he was addressing all the defensive coaches. He said the things that he was looking for, the criteria that he wanted to break down: experience, winning, ability to recruit, motivate, and develop players. Now, so that's what he says, and that those are the things, that's the criteria that I was looking at when evaluating these coaches and when watching these press conferences and hearing what these coaches have to say about their philosophy and what they're going to bring to LSU is experience, ability to motivate, ability to recruit and develop players, and winning experience as well. So I'm going to take a look at new offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock under that microscope. Now, when it comes to experience, Mike Denbrock has a lot of it. He has two stints at Notre Dame, one as a tight ends coach and the other under Brian Kelly, where he also coached tight ends for 2 years and was later promoted to offensive coordinator. Now, that Notre Dame team and that second stint under Brian Kelly obviously found a lot of success, went to the national championship, ultimately lost Alabama in the national championship. But I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is the fact that Mike Denbrock coached the tight ends not only in his first stint, but also in his second before he was promoted to interim offensive coordinator and then full-time offensive coordinator, was his work with the tight ends. Now, I addressed this in an earlier episode, but we can view Notre Dame as kind of tight end university, and I attributed Brian Kelly to that. But I think that Mike Denbrock is just as much, if not even more, of a contributing factor to that tight end university label that Notre Dame is given. I mean, you look at two of the tight ends that are products of Mike Denbrock directly and also under the Brian Kelly era at Notre Dame, but also while Mike Denbrock was tight ends coach and offensive coordinator at Notre Dame, is Kyle Rudolph and Tyler Eifert. And those are names that if you pay any attention to the NFL, you're going to know and you're going to recognize. Now, Kyle Rudolph set a Notre Dame record for the most receiving yards in a game by a tight end. It was against Michigan, 164 yards and 8 receptions. He was a second-round pick to the Minnesota Vikings. He was a 2-time Pro Bowler. Now, he spent his most recent year with the New York Giants. He's kind of been floating around as a free agent. He's in the later era of his career, but in his time at Notre Dame, he was an absolute baller. In the beginning of his career with the Minnesota Vikings, he was an absolute baller, like I said, 2-time Pro Bowler, and was recruited and developed by Mike Denbrock. So that was two things that Brian Kelly mentioned in his press conference, is not just recruiting players, but also being able to develop players and being able to motivate players. So that's what I see in Kyle Rudolph as well. And you also look at Tyler Eifert, won the Mackey Award in 2012 for the best tight end in college football. He played in the national championship against Alabama that season. He was a first-round pick to the Cincinnati Bengals in 2013. Those are two guys that didn't just have success in college, which is obviously the most important thing that we're looking at here. We want our players to have success while they're at LSU, while they're wearing the purple and gold. But also, you want them to have success in the league. Because if LSU is going to tote this NFLSU reputation, so to say, you got to have players that find success in the NFL. And you look at this past season, I mean, it's hard to argue that there have been a lot more schools that have had more success than LSU in the past couple of years in the NFL with their recent recruits. I mean, look at one of the quarterbacks that competed in the Super Bowl in Joe Burrow and his receiver of choice in Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, this NFLSU reputation is so incredibly important. So having that success not only in college but also in the league, I think, is important. So that ability to recruit and develop tight ends, which is a position of need for LSU and is a position that we saw to be very, very important with Jack Besh being Max Johnson's receiver of choice after Kayshon Boutte went out with an injury. I think his experience in the position group with which he coached in tight ends is incredibly important. Now, I look at the good and the bad with Mike Denbrock. Now, the good is he has winning experience. That's something that Brian Kelly cited. He wants a coach that has experience winning. He's been to a national championship with Notre Dame. He's been to a college football playoff most recently with Cincinnati, won with a group of five school, and you could see what he could do, not just with a group of five school, but what can he do with Power Five, not just Power Five, but also SEC recruits. You're going to get better recruits at LSU than you are at Cincinnati traditionally, and that's just the truth. So you saw he was able to bring unprecedented success to Cincinnati. What can he do with LSU recruits? That's what I'm incredibly excited about, is he has winning experience and he's been on the biggest stage. He's led offenses to the biggest stage and been the offensive coordinator at Cincinnati. That's good. Now, I look at the bad. I'll dissect the bad a little bit here. Because while he's been to the national championship with Notre Dame, competed for a championship with Notre Dame in 2013, lost Alabama. Most recently went to the college football playoff with Cincinnati, the very first group of five school to make it to the college football playoff. What team did they lose to in the college football playoff? Is Alabama. What's the most important win every year for LSU? Is Alabama. And you could say, oh, every game's important. You know, you're not going to beat Alabama if you don't beat the McNeeses and the ULLs and the Mississippi States and the Ole Misses and the Auburns. I understand. Every game's important. The most important game is the one that you have next on your schedule. I hear you. I understand it. I got you. But what's the biggest hill that LSU has to get over every year? That's beating Alabama. And that's not something that Mike Denbrock has been able to do. Now you could say, well, he'll have better players at LSU than he had at Cincinnati, for sure. You could say, well, you know, he's playing in a different role, in a larger role at LSU, and he has so much more experience and has learned so much since that 2013 season in which Notre Dame lost to Alabama in the national championship. I hear you. I got that. I hear all of that. But it does concern me that there's one team that on the biggest stage Mike Denbrock has not been able to beat. And that's the one team that LSU needs to beat every year if they want to compete on the national stage and in the SEC championship every year. And that's Alabama. Coming up next, there was one thing that Brian Kelly noted in his introductory press conference, and that was a position group that Mike Denbrock has experience in developing. And I think that's incredibly important for LSU, not just this upcoming year, but moving forward. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I got to let y'all know about Built Bar. So, you know, we're getting kind of into the nitty-gritty of the new year, and I've pretty much given up on all of my New Year's resolutions by now. But this year is different. I am sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. And it almost feels like it's not really a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them. What's a favorite snack of everyone? It's got to be marshmallows. And Built Bar has a new product called Puffs. If you haven't tried them, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. They're the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, but they are a treat. They taste like a dessert because they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Puffs have been a fan favorite with some of their incredible flavors. You got yummy cinnamon churro, which I love churros, so I love to hear that. They've got coconut marshmallow, my personal favorite, the banana cream pie. They're so delicious. They're so good. And I promise they're going to be your new favorite. All Built Bars, not just the Puffs, but all Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. They're low calorie, high protein. So replace your candy bars with all of these. They're better and they're better for you. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. But if you go to built.com and scroll down to macros, you're going to be blown away at just how good Built Bars are for you. They're high protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb, all the good things that you need, all the bad things that you don't, none of the bad things that you don't. Plus, most Built Bars contain only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein that keep you full all day long. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first. Then they pack all the good things in there for you. I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. So here's your offer. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure to check out Locked On Bracket Breakdown March 14th right here on the Locked On LSU podcast feed and YouTube channel. College basketball experts Chris Gordy and Andy Patton and betting expert Lee Sterling give you in-depth breakdowns on every matchup.
I would describe it at this very moment in time as a work in progress. We certainly, I mean, you've watched Notre Dame football. Those of you who have had an opportunity to watch some of the things that we did at Cincinnati, you know, there is a base of what we will be. We're going to be a team that plays physically tough, is going to run the football with effectiveness, is going to have the ability to stretch the field vertically and create explosive plays, whether that's in the run or the pass game. And we're going to have a workable drop-back game where we can make sure that if we get into situations where we've got to throw the football, we throw it effectively and efficiently.
Scheme he wants to look like in 2022, his offensive scheme, his vision for what this LSU offense will look like in 2022. Now, not super descriptive there, but I think my biggest takeaway is an incredibly dynamic offense. An offense ideally that can, you know, throw the deep pass. This is going to be an offense where the quarterback can drop back and give, and the offensive line can give that quarterback enough time to drop back and throw the deep ball, but they're going to utilize play action. They're going to run the ball, and it's going to be an offense that can do it not just on the ground but in the air. And love to hear that. That's great. But I think another incredibly important takeaway from that is an incredibly important takeaway that I took away from the defensive press conference as well, was Matt House doesn't want to share what the defensive scheme will look like exactly until he has some time to learn these players, to learn what their strengths are. I mean, LSU is getting a lot of transfers in. So these are a lot of players that haven't ever played together before. They need to learn each other. How do they play off of each other? What are their strengths? And that's what I took away from Mike Denbrock as well, was, yeah, he has this vision for what he wants the offense to look like. He wants it to be dynamic. He wants to be able to throw the deep ball and get the ball in the air. And he wants to be able to utilize play action. But you can't get a really good read of exactly what he wants this offense to do until he knows what they can do, until he can get all of these players in and he can kind of utilize the depth chart a little bit and evaluate what these players' strengths are and how they work together. And I think a big part of that is the quarterback, because Brian Kelly has already come out and said that there is no starting quarterback as of today, March 2nd. There's no starting quarterback. You can probably assume that it's going to be Miles Brennan, but you've also got Garrett Nussmeier and you've also got Walker Howard that are in that quarterback room as well. So Mike Denbrock can't come out and say definitively, this is our offense and this is what we're going to do until he knows the players. And I have to say that it is so incredibly refreshing to hear, because why would you try to make players fit into a scheme when you could make a scheme fit the player's strengths? That's what I feel like is just the given and what this LSU offense should look like. But I mentioned quarterback. And there was one thing that Brian Kelly said in his introductory press conference that really struck a chord with me. This is Brian Kelly introducing Mike Denbrock and what he can do and what he can bring to this LSU team.
About experience, you know, certainly as a coordinator, unprecedented success this year at Cincinnati, you know, an offense that led in many categories, the development of a quarterback in Desmond Ridder, being one of the better quarterbacks, if not the best in the country, and what he did this year.
Okay, so, you know, experience, winning experience, yeah, we got that. That was something that Brian Kelly prioritized going into this season. But one key thing he said was Mike Denbrock has experience developing a quarterback. And when I heard that, I mean, I just leapt for joy, because what is one position group that has been the thorn in LSU's side, that has probably been the biggest reason that has kept them out of the college football playoff, of course, barring the 2019 year? LSU can't find or develop a quarterback. Sure, they can try and recruit the best quarterback they can, but LSU can't recruit a quarterback. They can have some of the best wide receivers in the country. They can have the best running back in the country. They can have the best linebacker in the country. But if you don't have a competent player under center, then you're not going to be able to get anything done. You're not going to be able to be successful. So when I heard that Brian Kelly was drawn to Mike Denbrock because of his experience developing a quarterback, I mean, I breathed a sigh of relief. Now, saying that Desmond Ridder was the best in the country this past year, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but for Mike Denbrock to be able to develop Desmond Ridder into a quarterback that could compete for a national championship, a quarterback that was on the biggest stage in college football, in the college football playoff, that makes me incredibly excited and optimistic moving forward. Because I don't think LSU is married to Miles Brennan, and Miles Brennan is only getting older and his time at LSU is only dwindling. And that's going to leave LSU with the need to develop a quarterback. Garrett Nussmeier has very little college experience. Walker Howard has none. He's coming in as a true freshman. And I have to think that LSU is probably going to look somewhere to add another roster spot for another quarterback, because I personally don't feel confident if Miles Brennan does go down with an injury, which we've seen in the past couple of years, is a very likely scenario. Do you feel comfortable with Garrett Nussmeier going in under center? I know I don't. I know I don't feel comfortable and confident with LSU's chances to compete this year if Garrett Nussmeier is under center. And that's not because Garrett Nussmeier is not a talented quarterback. It's because he has no experience. But can you imagine, let's say, hypothetically, this is what I think is going to play out this year. Miles Brennan starts at quarterback, gives Garrett Nussmeier and Walker Howard a year to grow, a year to get stronger, a year to learn this offense, and a year to develop. Then you've got a quarterback competition next year in Garrett Nussmeier and Walker Howard, ideally, if they stay at LSU. Under Mike Denbrock, who's been able to develop Desmond Ridder into, you know, an NFL draft hopeful, someone who's expected to go in the first or second round of the NFL draft. That makes me feel so much more optimistic about this team moving forward. Mike Denbrock's ability to develop Desmond Ridder. What can this LSU team be if it gets a quarterback? We saw what it could do in 2019 with not just a competent quarterback, but a pretty damn good quarterback at that. This team has a ton of talent on it. And I'm sick of seeing LSU teams waste real talent with a quarterback that just doesn't match the level at it as its wide receivers, its offensive linemen, and its defense. Coming up next is Mailbag Wednesday. I'll get into as many of your questions as I possibly can. Remember, if you have any questions, feel free to send them in. You can tweet me at CarolineFinch1. You can DM me and tweet at LockedOnLSU. DM that account as well. However you want to get your questions in, get them in. And if we don't get to any of your questions this week, I will promise to get to them next week as well. But before we get to your questions, I have got to let y'all know that, as we know, it's the beginning of March, and March Madness is only a couple weeks away. So that means you need to start thinking now about where you're going to run your brackets this year. Are you going to go for the usual, what you normally do for your bracket? Are you looking for the best? We've done our homework here at Locked On, and we are running brackets with runyourpool.com. Along with standard brackets, RunYourPool offers game types like Survivor or Pick 'Em. Both are really, really fun in their own way. You should give it a try. We have options to edit scoring, and they offer more intel to make your picks. All stuff that you won't find with the usuals, the ESPNs and the CBSs of the bracket world. So if you've got a business, RunYourPool.com can help you take some of that madness magic and play alongside your employees or even gain customers. Plus, they offer full white glove customer support, custom branding, and one of the easiest 3-minute setups you will ever find. Clearly, we believe in RunYourPool because, like I said, we're running our brackets there ourselves. There's no truer test than that. If you want to play against us for a shot at a cash prize, join us at runyourpool.com/lockedon. And while you're there, create your own pool for your friends and family. Enter Pure Madness, PureMadness, one word, at checkout for $10 off your custom pool. All the rules and details will be available there. That's runyourpool.com/lockedon for your chance to win at a cash prize. We look forward to seeing and hopefully beating you there. This episode of Locked On LSU is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now important for you for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. But why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? You're out of an LX or an EX. I don't know the answer. I don't know what oil type my car needs. So don't wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. I mean, Rock Auto has everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. So in my Volkswagen Beetle, I was having an issue with the battery. The battery was always dying. So I went to rockauto.com, I ordered a new battery there. They were able to diagnose the problem with my Volkswagen Beetle, and now she's up and running like she is brand new. So make sure to check out rockauto.com for all of your vehicle needs. Happy Mailbag Wednesday, everybody. I'm going to get to as many of your questions as I can. Now, if you have a question for me that you'd like me to address on the next podcast, whether that's LSU basketball related, baseball related, football related. If you've got a question for me, anything you want to know about me personally, send those questions in. You can send them in on Twitter at CarolineFinton1 or at LockedOnLSU. The first question we had from Nathaniel. I think I'm addressing this question a little bit late because this question went to my message request. So I apologize to Nathaniel. But he asked, what do you think LSU basketball's ceiling is this year? I'm going to be totally honest with you. I like to consider myself a very glass half full person, but when it comes to being a sports fan, I'm incredibly pessimistic. I think the ceiling for this team is the Sweet 16. I don't see this team going any further than that in the tournament, and I think that's the absolute ceiling if they do get there. We've seen flashes of this team being incredibly talented. We've seen this team be able to completely shut down Kentucky earlier in the season. And we've seen this team beat teams that at this point in the season are much better than LSU is. But that's the problem, is it's flashes and it's not consistent. We've seen this team be able to blow out teams at home. And they go on the road and they look like a seemingly completely different team. March isn't at home. March is on the road. March is incredibly difficult. You're going to play really good opponents week in and week out. And when it's lose and you're out, when it's a one and done kind of situation, LSU can't afford to be inconsistent. LSU can't afford to just have their offense seemingly fall flat and not be able to get the ball through the hoop. So My ceiling, I say pessimistically, is absolute highest, the Sweet 16. And it's not something that I like to hear, but I got to see a little bit more consistency from this team and a little bit more winning on the road before I feel like this team can make a legitimate run in the tournament. We have our next question coming in from Mike. Your thoughts on the women's basketball team? Man, this women's basketball team is so incredibly fun to watch. And it always hurt me watching the Nikki Fargus era because I love women's basketball. I love women's sports. I wanted LSU women's basketball to be good because we saw how much support other women's sports at LSU get. Look at gymnastics, for example. When you're good, people care. I love to see the energy that Kim Mulkey has pumped into this team and into this fan base. I mean, we're a women's basketball school now, and it's really, really exciting to watch. I mean, we just saw LSU women's basketball take down the Lady Vols earlier this week, the number 16 team in the country. And that's a storied program in Tennessee women's basketball. So it's been really, really fun to watch this women's basketball team, and especially in Kim Mulkey's first year. I'm just along for the ride. I'm along to see what she can do and the kind of players that she can recruit and bring in here and what she can do with them. So in year one, you know, I'm just looking at how far they can go. And I know that they're up against a really, really talented South Carolina women's team in the SEC. And it's going to be tough to overtake that team. But I want to see what more Kim Mulkey can do, because if this is just the beginning, then I'm incredibly optimistic moving forward. Also, I think I've got to be completely honest with you. Kim Mulkey got snubbed for SEC Coach of the Year. And I know that she said that she's got plenty of those trophies, got plenty Coach of the Year trophies that are just collecting dust. Look, we know what Dawn Staley can do. Dawn Staley's been the SEC Coach of the Year, Women's Basketball Coach of the Year, for 4 years prior. We know that she is just a damn good coach. And I know that South Carolina beat LSU. But with what Kim Mulkey has been able to do and the turnaround that she's brought this team, I think she deserved SEC Women's Basketball Coach of the Year. Even if it means nothing to her, I think the turnaround this team has showed from bottom of the league to top of the league in just 1 year, the woman deserves some recognition for that. So loving watching this women's basketball team. We got another question coming in from Tammy. Says, what position group should be a focus for LSU football this offseason? Now, I think they've addressed a good bit of it, especially the wide receiver in the cornerback position in the transfer portal. But I mentioned it earlier in the show, and that is quarterback. I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of LSU fans may feel comfortable with that position and having Miles Brennan back this year and bringing in Walker Howard, you know, huge signing for this team. I'm just not totally comfortable yet with the quarterback room. I need just a little bit more experience. I need just a little bit more depth, because crazier things have happened. Miles Brennan has left in the middle of the season before. Miles Brennan was unable to play because of an injury before. It could happen again. Knock on all the wood everywhere. But it's not the craziest thing in the world to think that Miles Brennan could be out for some reason, whatever that reason may be, injury included. So I need a little bit more depth at the quarterback position as well. Also, can always use a little bit more tight end depth, especially because we've seen how much Brian Kelly and Mike Denbrock love to utilize tight ends. Could love to see a little bit more offensive line depth and a little bit more defensive line depth as well. It's not a sexy position to address, but more depth on the line, I think, is always beneficial for this team, for any team in general. But that is going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow, we will recap LSU basketball and LSU baseball as well. And I also mentioned the offensive line. Not a sexy position, but it's incredibly important, especially for the success of this quarterback and for the success of the drop-back deep ball offense that Mike Denbrock mentioned that he wants to implement here at LSU. So we'll break down a little bit of the offensive line tomorrow as well. So appreciate you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On NFL Draft, with Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker. They're bringing the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and the NFL front offices. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Tiger fans, I'll see y'all tomorrow.